Didn't mean to startle you. I saw you already, but I wanted to acknowledge that publicly. You left. We know you left needing to go home and grieve with your family and to take care of your mother's business. We're glad that you're back. And we didn't get a chance to thank you for the work that you have done here for our secretary. Pam is doing a good job, but we still miss you. And we're glad that you're back with us. We've seen Harold, and he's looked lonely. And welcome back home. Amen. I was reading about Thomas Edison, the greatest inventor that ever lived. In fact, he patented over 1,400 inventions. Too numerous to mention, but one we all familiar with is the light bulb that we use so much today. At 22, Edison went to New York looking for a job with 42 cents in his pocket. And in fact, he spent his first nights in New York sleeping on the park bench. So as he went around looking for jobs and he would knock on doors, a very interesting thing happened to him, how he got his first job. As he went knocking on doors, he stopped in a particular company where they had a stock market indicator machine. And he walked in the door and he heard the boss screaming, said, "Can anybody fix this problem? They've been having problems with the machine. It was down." Edison walked in the door not knowing what they were talking about. He said, "I can fix it." They put him to work, and within a few hours, having not even seen or even known what it was he was going to fix, fixed the machine. He was hired on the spot for $300 a month. You never know what opportunities are waiting for you. I come from, and I mentioned all the time, from Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. In Philadelphia, if you've ever been there, one of the main streets that one runs from one end of the city to the other is Broad Street. You want to know how to get any place in Philadelphia, find Broad Street first, and everything flows off of Broad Street. And it's a long street, miles. I want you to imagine 2,000 years ago, as Joseph and Mary, if you return in your Bibles to the scripture that was read, the second chapter of Luke, and we'll look at just a verse or two. Mary and Joseph responding to the decree from Caesar Augustus. And he went to Bethlehem that they might pay their tax. Now, some historians say that Mary did not need to accompany Joseph in order to pay the tax. Joseph could have gone by himself, but he was led to take his wife with him on that 90-mile journey while she was pregnant on a donkey. And I imagine that when Mary and Joseph arrived, the streets were crowded, and they had their own Broad Street experience. Going from one end of the city, from one gate of the city to the eastern extremities of the town, seeking a resting place. And after a long day on the road, on a donkey, I imagine they needed a good motel and a nice, comfortable bed. And so they needed a place to rest. Notice what the Bible says. I am fascinated by this. And forgive me because I have erred in the past. I have taken this story and made it, and I'm going to do the same, more than the Bible speaks about. And look at verse 7 of chapter 2 of the Gospel of St. Luke. "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." I've entitled my message the innkeeper. What did I say, everybody? The innkeeper. This is it. This is all the Bible has to say about the inn. And I've made up all kinds of stories about the innkeeper. You've seen all kinds of stories about the innkeeper. And the only thing the Bible says is that there was no room at the inn. One thing we can be sure of, there probably was an innkeeper. And for whatever reason, and I don't know this for sure, but it's a good chance that this innkeeper missed the greatest event in the history of the world. In fact, today, if he or she had have taken the proper look at this particular incident, we would have been singing Christmas carols about the innkeeper. There would have been figurine dolls about the innkeeper. Salvation Army would have had their tins out there for the innkeeper. But the innkeeper missed an opportunity. I've always carried a negative view of the innkeeper. I've thought of the innkeeper as an older, notice I didn't say old, older, crotchety man. The innkeeper would be the one that was, nerves were frayed, and I could hear the innkeeper saying, "I don't have any room here. Get in the back. There's a stable back there. Don't bother me. You see all the people that are here?" Does the Bible say that? No. I've kind of just made that up about the innkeeper. Again, the innkeeper does not have to be a man. Well, why have we done this about the innkeeper? Is it that God could have, he could have left this part out of the Bible and just said that Mary and Joseph went to the stable. Just a few words there says because there was no room at the inn. Could it be that we are the innkeeper? Could it be that we missed the opportunity to let the Son of God in our place? Could it be that's why God put those few words there? Could it be that we missed the opportunity to bring gifts to God? We missed the opportunity to be a part of great events. We missed the opportunity to have God change our lives, to be saved by Him. Maybe we're the ones that send Jesus and Mary, Joseph and Mary and Jesus back to a stable. This church really looks nice. I want to commend again those that decorated this church. But if only thing that we are dealing with this season is the decorations, which I like personally, if that's all that it means to us, then we have missed an opportunity of a lifetime. If we should possibly let this holiday season get by us without us accepting the true gift, then we've missed it. The wise men took advantage. The shepherds took advantage. Legend says a little drummer boy took advantage, but not the innkeeper. My worst nightmare, I shared this in the first service, is that of all my after spending all the years in church and preaching to others and going to school and all of the things that I think are important in the religious realm, to do all of that and not accept Jesus would be an absolute tragedy for me personally. us to go through this season singing Christmas carols and not accepting the greatest gift in the history of man would be a tragedy. Amen. A young man asked William Gladstone, who is the Prime Minister of England, for his advice on the future. The young man says, I want to study law. Yes, it's Mr. Gladstone. And then what? Well, I expect that I'll be admitted to the bar. Well, then what after that? Well, I hope to get a place in Parliament. Yes, then what? Well, I want to do great things for my country. Well, yes, what then? Well, I suppose I'll retire and take it easy. I want to do that one day. And then he says, and what then? Of course, I'll die. He says, yes, but what then? He says, I never really thought any further than that. So he says, then you're a fool. Go home and think life through again. God could have revealed to us the name of the innkeeper. Maybe that's not important. Maybe what's important is the lesson. It's possible that the innkeeper was not a bad person. And he probably went around doing good. We have no idea of knowing that he was... I think now that the innkeeper may have been a regular guy or gal. Could have been a good neighbor, good community leader. But this time of the year, what God wants us to know that he is more interested that we accept him fully. Not just be good people, man, be good people. Be nice neighbors. Be community leaders. But what Jesus wants from us is a full commitment to him. Some of the saddest words in the Bible is found in Jeremiah 8:20 that says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. John Greenleaf Whittier says, for all of the sad words of tongue or pen, saddest are those it might have been. How could the innkeeper miss such an opportunity? The lesson to me is to always be ready. What did I say, everybody? Always be ready for the opportunity. I think we shared this with our children as they were growing up about being ready for an opportunity. Just get the qualification and just stand by and be ready for the opportunity. Isn't that what you share with their young people? If you come to my house, even today, it's pretty straight, but not every room. You know, you got one of those rooms like that with a lot of stuff in it. Not quite the way you want. But there's one room I can take you to right now. It's always ready. It's the guest room. The bed is made up and everything is just sitting just right. It's always ready. The lesson for us in the innkeeper is that we ought to always be ready. When I was growing up, my mother always had some extra cans in case some guests came and she wanted to feed you. she could feed you. She was always ready. Always ready to give something extra. They tell me that, and I don't know, if some of you in the business, you might clear me after the service and straighten me out. That even though the hotels and motels may have a sign out saying full, that they always have one room. They always have a room. They're ready for that special guest. Maybe we shouldn't be too hard on the innkeeper. Because what happens sometimes, a lesson that I learn in life, is that sometimes greatness is very difficult to discern outwardly. I've been to places, car dealers, and purchased other large items. I've been places where I've gone there and the salesperson's paid no attention. And in fact, I get a kick out of that. Especially when I know I come there to buy. And I've done that. And I really don't like, and I shouldn't do that. This, you probably said, it's not fair. I make sure I don't look the part. And watch salespeople ignore you. I mean, I've had it done a lot. And I just go right over to the person who cares and then buy the object. I get a kick out of that. Sometimes it's difficult, and again, we can't fault the innkeeper, to recognize greatness, and especially as it relates to faith. But Jesus has chosen the lowly symbols to teach truth about himself. To Moses, he appeared as a desert scrub. To Israel, a snake in brass, or in a cloud, or in a rock. In the New Testament, in bread, and in water, and as a shepherd. It was on October the 25th. It was 1964. I'm old enough to remember the event, not just to have heard about it. In fact, I'm old enough to have seen it on television. In fact, I did. The Vikings were playing the 49ers. A player from the 49ers was hit and fumbled the ball. Jim Marshall scooped up the ball and took off running. Without hesitation, he sprinted toward the goal line, 66 yards away. The crowd went wild. No one blocked his progress going to the end zone. Marshall was thinking that the crowd was cheering for him until a 49er player hugged him and says, "Thanks for the safety." Then Jim knew something was wrong. He had gone the wrong way. He says he wanted the earth to open up and swallow him, but it didn't. So he jogged back to the bench to face his coach. This is what the coach had to say. Forget it. Go back in there and make the fans forget. Isn't that great? Of course, fans never forget. He said, "That's a good saying, all right." I'm telling it, 30 years later. But Minnesota won the game, 27-22. How awful it would be to reach the end and discover all for nothing. That we were running in the wrong direction, away from the cross. Wouldn't it be tragic to come to this church Saturday? Every Saturday? And be lost playing games on Saturday? I mean, that's unusual. Attending church on Saturday. Wouldn't it be a tragedy to show up here week after week and never accept the head of the church, Jesus Christ? Find out that you're running in the wrong direction. I wonder. I'm going to find that out when I get to the kingdom one day. If the innkeeper had a chance after that mess up to straighten things out. I'm not talking about a football game. What I'm talking about when we come here week after week is eternity. Don't shut Jesus out of this season. And do not let this season go by without accepting Jesus. I need you to bow your heads and close your eyes as I close. I'm going to ask at the end of my prayer if there's anyone here today that has not accepted Jesus, I'm going to ask you to say yes to Him today. I'm not going to ask a lot of fanfare. The only thing I want you to do is just lift your hand so heaven can record it. That seems strange. Why would you be in the church asking people to accept Jesus? Hadn't everybody accepted Jesus? Sometimes we miss great opportunities. I don't want you to miss this one. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. We've heard it. It's a good slogan, but it's more than that. It's an opportunity for us to give ourselves, our hearts, our minds to Jesus. Lord, without Jesus, we are running in the wrong direction. Might be kind of humorous to think about the football game and Jim Marshall, but Lord, if we have not accepted you, we are running in the wrong direction. But Lord, we're thankful that you're more than a coach. And because of your sacrifice on Calvary, you tell us to get back in the game. And don't worry, because I have been victorious. I have the keys of death and hell in my hands, and you don't have to worry. So, Lord, today, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, is there someone here today, and if you already have accepted Jesus, you don't have to raise your hand for me. You don't have to do that. But while the heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and you want to say yes to Him and start going in the right direction, I just want you to lift your hand and have heaven record that. I see the hand. Thank you. I see the hands. Thank you. I see the hands. I see the hands. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done in Jesus' name. Heaven records that. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your Spirit being in this place. Lord, every opportunity for salvation that comes our way, we want to accept it. Every gift that comes our way from you, we want to accept it. And every person we meet, regardless of what we know about them or their status, Lord, we want to treat them as a part of the family of God. We thank you, Lord. Bless us now. Give us a joy during this holiday season that will touch the lives of others. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I want to conclude our worship today by singing, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian, one verse. Let us stand as we use that for our closing hymn.